My name is Max.
My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Santel.
And you are awaited.
Let me tell you what we're doing here, Yuri.
What are we doing, Travis?
You Are Awaited is a Mad Max Fury Road podcast.
Get the fuck out of town.
Where you and me watch 4 minutes at a time.
You get to watch 4 minutes?
It's an arbitrary number that we've chosen. Of Mad Max Fury Road, the film.
I love that movie.
And we spend the next 45 or so minutes discussing it, breaking it down, talking about things we love, talking about Zoe Kravitz, and just really getting into it and feeling our oats and maturing as intellectuals and as men. That's what we do. Every week, Yuri, we do it every week.
You know, I didn't realize that this was actually maturing us. One would argue that this is the opposite of something
a mature man should do.
Well,
I think what grown men do is apply their sort of tepid intellects to meaningless projects. That's sort of the definition of modern masculinity. And so what
we do fit it to a T. Yes.
Yeah, we take our brains, which are meager at best, and we apply them to not to saving the world, not to cancer research, not to homelessness, hunger, or racial inequality. We apply it to a film that came out last year.
And understanding exactly why. I mean, it's not even trying to convince people.
No,
it's just for us.
We blather on to the converted. But you know what? This is my social change. This is my social justice.
Hey, you know, you got to wage the wars where you can.
Yeah, this is the war. This is the battle I choose to fight.
And this is the battle I chose to fight.
I choose to talk through Mad Max Fury Road. Speaking of battles,
yes.
It's a follow-up from our last episode about Genghis Khan.
Please.
Because here's the thing.
Enlighten us.
I don't usually follow up on things. If I think they might be wrong. Mm-hmm. But having
you couldn't
said
let this one go. You were like
said
a terrier.
It publicly, I thought I should look into it. I'm mostly right, which is cool. But the reason I want to bring it up on this week's podcast mm-hmm. is that the truth is, in a way, better for Mad Max than what I said.
Holy shit, go ahead.
To ensure, this is from Wikipedia, so well-sourced. To ensure they would always, this is about the Mongol army, Genghis Khan's army.
You realize anybody can post anything on Wikipedia. It's like the IMDb.
But there is a couple of references in this one.
Okay.
Also, this paragraph ends with citation needed. So make of that what you will.
Okay.
To ensure they would always have fresh horses, each trooper usually had 3 or 4 mounts. That one is cited. The horse is viewed much like a cow in Mongolia and is milked and slaughtered for meat as such. Since most of the Mongols
mount... Can you milk a horse?
I have milked a horse.
Okay.
That is untrue. I just lied to you.
Because of who you are and because of the stories that I can validate, that I can verify that you have told me, mm-hmm. I accepted it without question.
Can I tell you one of my biggest regrets in life?
That you've never milked a horse?
No, worse. I had the opportunity. I was in Africa. I was on, the story is too long to tell, but I had the opportunity to drink rhino milk right out of the teat. I did not take that opportunity.
Where you would literally put your mouth to the teat
of
the rhino?
I could have done it, but probably what I would have done is got it on my finger and sort of tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely
Much
healthy.
Like what I've done with breast milk, with human breast milk.
I don't like where this is
yes,
going.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know, you knew it had to happen.
I had to read 3 sentences off
it
my
It is delicious.
Phone. I've gotten
also,
through one.
Okay, well bear with me. Because this reminds me that I mistakenly the other day, because these are the things you learn when all of a sudden now you're in, you know, raising a child and everything.
Yeah.
But I had said, I think on a previous podcast, in reference to the milkmaids,
yes,
that they must have had to keep them pregnant all the time so that they would be lactating. You do not need to be, apparently, mm-hmm. no, the citation needed.
Right.
That if you are lactating after having a baby,
you can keep going,
and you can keep going as well, because that's the whole idea that milkmaids, you know, in
wet nurses,
wet nurses,
yeah, that's right. No,
that
I think
you
that's
can,
true.
As long as you keep telling your body to generate the milk
it'll
and you don't wean
it.
The baby, it'll keep doing it. So
yeah,
I was so wrong.
The wet nurse, I think, yeah, I think I knew you were wrong, but I was like, you know what? Why?
I'm surprised Twitter didn't call me out on that one.
Well, I don't want to say this for sure. But our fan base is probably more well-versed in sci-fi than they are in women's breasts. No offense to our fan base.
Nicely
but
done,
But it
though.
Feels like that's probably where we're all at.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyone offended by that?
I hope so.
Right.
Tweet us out. Because I have a feeling that we probably have at least as many, if not more, female listeners than we do.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I don't think that can possibly be true.
All right, call it out, folks.
Wait, do you really think that?
I do.
You think we have more female listeners than male listeners? Yuri, you cannot be serious.
I'm going to go on a limb and make that claim so that you can take the opposite side so that one of us can be proven wrong.
Yeah. Okay, I'm proving you wrong right now. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing to say. Okay. Do you, wait.
Prove him wrong. Prove him wrong. I literally don't know how to do that. Yeah, I don't know how we could prove any of that.
Okay.
I just like women. Travis, I think is what I'm trying to say.
No, you're speaking to my aspirational self. I've always wanted to do a thing that women would listen to and care about, but I never have.
So in life or on podcasts?
Anything. Right. I mean, literally anything. From an outfit to a haircut to a conversation.
So Wikipedia.
Let me start over. Okay. To ensure that they would always have fresh horses, each trooper usually had 3 or 4 mounts. The horse is viewed much like a cow in Mongolia and is milked and slaughtered for meat as such. Since most of the Mongols' mounts were mares, they were able to live off their horses' milk or milk products as they moved through enemy territory. In dire straits, the Mongol warrior could drink some of the blood from his string of remounts. They could survive a whole month only by drinking a mare's milk combined with mare's blood.
That's fucking awesome.
That's badass, right?
Yeah.
Like, but
maybe
the idea,
one of the most badass things I've ever heard.
Right? And the idea that they would use mare's milk and mare's blood mixed together to get all their nutrients, it would just keep going. So they don't even need oats. They can live a month off just their horses.
Wow.
That's why they're so powerful.
So new goal.
Yeah.
Would be for us to find a place that we can drink mare's blood.
Vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian. Cutting you off right there. I'm not drinking mare's blood with you. This podcast has gone too far. Now that you're
this
asking me,
this podcast is over.
To drink,
if you're
mare's
not willing
blood.
To drink mare's blood mixed with mare's milk,
you would do it though for sure. Oh, you've lived in crazy places.
I would do it if you did it with me.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. Well, you keep thinking about it.
Fuck. Wait, will you for the listeners real quick list the countries you've lived in, if you don't mind? I think that's interesting and relevant.
A lot in Africa.
Do you mind listing all the countries or no?
Well, lived in is shorter.
Spend
than
more than a month
visit,
in.
But okay.
With your family.
I mean, definitely Morocco and Niger in West Africa.
That's Niger for
that's
the rest of you.
Niger for the rest of you.
I'll translate.
Right. Japan. More than a month. Senegal.
It's so cool.
I'm pretty sure. I was young.
That's really
and
good.
We spent a lot of my mom's side of my family comes from Europe, from Romania and then Austria. So Austria and Germany I've spent a lot of time in, and but
killer. Great. Just
places,
wanted to put that
places.
Out there.
I travel a lot. Because my dad was either worked for USAID or was a spy. We're not sure.
Oh, either way, super great.
Either way, so we traveled a lot.
Good for him. He probably drank mare's blood.
I bet he did.
All right, I'll think about it. Okay. If Twitter blows up about it, we can talk about it more.
They haven't even cared about that fucking tattoo, and so...
Yeah. For those of you who've joined us since that happened, I was in a drinking contest with a friend, and he, as the loser of the contest, had to get a tattoo of my face as a cat on his back. It is life-size. I have pictures of it, and we'll tweet... If 10 people...
I just can't believe he went ahead with it. I just would have gone...
I sort of am shocked, too.
I just would have gone, no.
I gave him the out. I was like, listen, man, you don't have to do this. I think this is too far. We've gone
too far.
What
does he do for a living?
He's an audio mixer...
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
Sound technician...
So it doesn't matter.
...guy.
He's not like a back model.
He doesn't take off his shirt a lot, I suspect. I don't know. I mean, I don't think if he had that tattoo,
and
he
never
he
has to look at it. I guess that's how he looked at it. He's like,
it's
well, I'm never going
to
have to look at it.
It's the best place of the body to put it if you're going to put something terrible somewhere.
Was it in the middle of his back or like tramp stamp?
Sort of tramp stamp.
Oh, that's okay.
It's my face as a tramp stamp on a man. It's not a pleasant situation.
But as a cat!
As a cat.
Like, not even just your face!
Actually, the original pitch...
Guys, will you please... He only asked for 10 people to ask for him to post the photo, and
nothing.
He's never even shown me.
No, it's nothing.
Nothing. We've had two.
The original design was a steampunk cat, which had goggles and shit, like gloves. Yeah,
a lot of goggles in this 4-minute sequence.
Let's
by
get
the way.
To it because those goggles reminded me of this hunched over woman here.
Okay.
All right, so we're into the beginning of the Exodus here. Right. They have
and totally destroys. By the way, I'm disappointed that it destroys my 4-minute thing again.
Yeah, this one kind of fucks it up.
Like the last one was solid 4 minutes, and this one sort of ends in
this
the
is not a great 4-minute in terms of a cohesive argument, but. It picks up where we left off, where Max is making his map, which turns out, I'm happy we freeze-framed on that, because it's actually a very passing moment. It's just the way they introduce Max. They pan off it really quickly.
Yeah.
But we got to see it and talk about it a little bit because it freeze-framed on it. Mm-hmm. And Charlize Theron says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? She pulls them aside. The women are in the back. And she says, listen.
I love it. It's a choice that she asked if, like, she didn't just come up and start talking to him.
Yeah.
She said, can I have a moment?
Yeah, let's go over here.
There's some respect.
Yeah.
That is a choice.
Yeah, they're the de facto two leaders of this operation. She's sharing responsibility with him because she is the, she's the leader. But she's kind of said, hey, listen, because I'm going to ask you a question about yourself here. This is our best shot to get across these endless sands. If we fully load up these motorcycles, we can get 160 days.
Okay, stop.
I know. This is the part.
This has always been, and I think I've brought it up before, but I wanted to wait to really dig into it.
Many times.
And I would love for somebody to tell me how you could go 160 days with enough rations on a motorcycle. Rations of anything. Gasoline.
Water.
Like gasoline, water.
Water's the big one to me. It's
yeah,
so
well, especially
much weight.
If they're going, she says they're going across, you know, this is our best chance to go get across the salt.
Yeah, the endless.
The endless salt. The quiet, what was it? What do we call it? The quiet lands? The silent, whatever.
I don't know.
We got it right in the last episode.
I legitimately don't know.
Yeah, we got it right in the last episode. 160 days is. Like, how much gas does a motorcycle use? If you're driving, let's say you're even driving, how many hours a day?
Let's say 10.
Ten is a lot, but you're right. If they're trying to outrun,
what else are they fucking
I mean, after a certain point, they're going to have to assume that the war parties will just stop following them.
Yeah,
they'll have to give the resources that it takes. But let's say they even 3 hours a day, very conservative.
Not enough a day, but go
three,
on.
4 hours a day,
six.
Okay, 6 hours, whatever it is. There's no way, and I want somebody to prove me wrong on this. There is no way.
Yeah.
And yet, this movie never leaves anything to chance, never seems to really stray into complete implausibility. 160 days is a very specific amount. Somebody did the math, but it does not sound right to me. And they could have said, we can go
80 days.
And I'm like...
That seems a lot, but okay.
But still. Or they could have said, you know, we can go a month. Like, that would have been impressive to me.
Yeah.
We can drive a month in this direction.
Yeah.
And that's 30 days.
Right.
160 days. That's like almost half a year. That's like 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can you carry enough on a motorcycle, as badass as those motorcycles are?
They're very big. Very badass.
I don't buy it. It always has stood out to me.
Also... the scene we freeze framed on, they're not carrying a lot of supplies and definitely aren't carrying water.
And some of them are also carrying another passenger. You're right. Some of them are also carrying another passenger.
Right. Why not, if you're carrying supplies, make all the girls can't drive motorcycles, take 2 days to teach them, and then have them carry pack horses also?
Yeah.
There's a lot of mistakes here, I think, in terms of logistics, but I don't fucking know.
And yet, it stands out because there are no mistakes in this movie.
Let me say this to you. I have been excited to get to this moment because I know it's the thing that bothers you the most about the film. And usually, I feel like I'm the sort of one who gets agitated about dumb shit. I like seeing you agitated.
You have, because you heard it and you're like, that doesn't sound real, don't care, moving on.
Well.
But I cannot let it go.
If I may.
Yes.
I'm bothered by something else about that. That's not that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you haven't brought it up yet. Can we dig into that then?
Here's what bothers me about this argument. So the scenario is, they can load up their motorcycle. Listen, I grant all the things you say. You're right. They're not carrying water. They're going for 160 days in the desert. They're carrying maybe some food, but don't see it. Also, logistically, I know for the film you don't do this, but logistically, you train all those girls. They have extra motorcycles. We've learned that because they're giving one to Max.
Right.
You load up all the motorcycles you have with goods, food, water. You teach the wives to drive motorcycles. You take more motorcycles.
Although, you teach them or you just let them ride.
I'm saying you want to bring more motorcycles so you can carry more stuff.
Oh, right.
That's what you would do, logistically.
You're right. You wouldn't have,
Filmically, I understand why they did that. Okay, so that bothers me a little bit. That's not the thing that bothers me, though. Here's what bothers me.
Okay.
You can go 160 days on motorcycles. We're going to, spoiler alert, jump ahead in the 4 minutes. We'll come back to the other stuff. Max comes up. He's like, hey, I got a plan. We're going to go back to the Citadel. And they're like, what? That's crazy. He's like, yeah, look, here's where it is. And one woman goes, it would take 2 weeks to go around the mountains.
Right.
They just said they can go for 160 days. The reason they want to go through the war, through the fucking war parties, is because it would take an extra 2 weeks to go around the mountains. You can go for 160 days and you don't want to take 2 weeks to save your fucking lives? That is crazy to me. So right. To me, the internal consistency of the logic of this is like, they're just being lazy at this point. 2 weeks, blah. Yeah, you have enough goods and services for 160.
Goods and services.
Yeah, I'm just pissed right now.
You're just making shit up.
Yeah. Well, they service each other.
Sure. Well, here's my explaining that part away. Because that bothers me less.
I'm fucking furious right now. How does that bother you less? That's crazy talk.
Because part of
it's
that...
It's just
part,
2 weeks part to save your lives. Them,
but they have to... For that plan to work, they have to get back to the Citadel before Morton Joe does.
Yes.
So the 2 weeks...
All right, it's fair.
The 2 weeks... Would, you know, Morton Joe would be able to get back because they just go back direct.
All right, I stand down. You're right.
Wow, you gave up really easily on that.
Well, you're right. I hadn't thought about it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. But yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm not mad about anything then anymore.
Okay.
I feel fine.
Let's find more stuff to be mad about then.
I guess. I mean, are you done with the 160 days thing? Because you were getting
ramped up. I'm done with the 160 days until somebody can explain why I'm wrong.
I feel like that's probably an answer Mark Sexton has.
You know what? He probably does. Okay. Mark, because
it's an arbitrarily large number, and also they're not carrying water. I hate to keep saying that. That seems like a big mistake.
Yeah, and they literally said no. If there were little places that they could hit along the way, like oases,
they don't know that,
along the way. But it's uncharted, and they call it the salt. You don't call something the salt if there's going to be water there. It clearly used to be an ocean. You know what that is?
That
used to be an ocean.
Yes.
Or a large body of salt.
Yeah, you nailed
water.
It. Yep, you nailed it. That's why it's so flat and so salty.
Now, that's super fucked up because we know Australia is surrounded by water for so far that if the oceans have really dipped that much, that's fucked up.
Yeah, you're right. They could drive into the water.
They could literally drive into the water, which is probably super salty at this point if most of the water's gone away.
Yeah, also not very good for drinking.
Not very good for drinking.
I wouldn't imagine.
And I mean, it takes us 13 hours to fly to, or 12, 13 hours to fly to... I can't. 160 days on motorcycles is barely going to get you. Well, I don't
know. You could probably get there.
Yeah, 100. That's 160 days is a long time. See, now I'm justifying the. Well, if they have 160, but they don't. They don't. They won't make it 160 days.
What if they do though?
They don't.
But what if they do?
Are they filling their motorcycles on hope? Because hope is a mistake.
Yeah, which is where we left
off. And so is the 160 days. Yeah,
okay, that's fair. It's a good place to go back to. So, she says to Mad Max, she's like, hey. This is our best shot to get across this endless sea of despair. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go. We can make it for 160 days if we fully load up the motorcycles. One of the bikes is for you if you want it.
And we know what the value of that bike is.
Huge.
It's life and death.
Yeah.
This is the respect and this is how, the thanks that she,
This is a good, I respect you, I appreciate you moment. Mm-hmm. I want you to come with us.
I want you to come with us, but I'm not.
Forcing.
I mean, she knows sort of she couldn't force him, but
he's a weird
it's also
guy.
Another,
he's gonna do his
I mean,
it's,
there's a lot of respect happens in this engagement. Can I talk to you? Let me go over. You know, here's this, I'm giving you this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm also giving you the option. We'd like to have you come, but I understand if you, and he immediately was like, yeah, I'm not coming with you.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to make my own way. It's what I do. I'm fucking Max.
Right.
I'm Mad Max.
Right. Well, here's an interesting thing. Mm. He is Mad Max. There are two parts in this 4 minutes where the term insane is used. Mm-hmm. He says, if you cling to hope or whatever, you'll go insane.
Yep.
If you don't fix what's broken, you'll go insane.
Yeah.
And then later on, the DAG says, I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the term insane, which is very specific. Mm. Insane is a legal term. Mm-hmm. It came about through the use of now you know it's now a colloquial term for also you know crazy or mad. Mm-hmm. Mad would be the more appropriate term if you don't, if you don't fix what's broken you'll go mad. Mm-hmm. And then she says, but I thought you weren't mad. You know, I thought you weren't insane anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought you weren't mad anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you? It's a very specific use of that in a place that would be super great to use the word mad because he's.
Mad Max.
But we haven't called him Max yet, so for them to call out the mad part and not even know about that would be an interesting... But do you think it has to do with that Americans also use the term mad as angry?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think... It's very specific.
For the latter one, I think you're right. It would be like, I thought you weren't mad anymore. It may be a little confusing for audiences.
Right, yeah.
I'm glad the movie's not called Insane Max.
Correct.
Not as good.
I am in agreement.
Far inferior title. Mm-hmm. I like the way the word insane sounds in the first sentence. I mean, what happens basically is he says, I'm going to make my own way, thanks. Charlize Theron sort of looks very sad about that, mm-hmm. takes it, walks away, and he says, hope's a mistake, you know.
Yeah.
And she stops, and he says, if you don't fix what's broken, you'll mm-hmm. go insane.
Yeah.
Is that the line?
Yeah.
Great. I mean, just a great little line.
And an interesting moment for him.
But it sounds better with the word insane, doesn't it?
I like mad on that one.
Okay.
I do like insane on the other one. I can see how that would be confusing mm-hmm. if she had said, I thought you weren't mad anymore.
Right.
But I would have liked... You'll go. There's just a reference to Mad Max without them being
aware.
It's totally unaware.
Yeah. No, I get you. I buy that.
But it was clearly the choice was made that they were going to go with insane.
Yeah.
But it's also a nice moment for Max because, you know, he's been survival. Up until this point, you know, he says, yeah, I'm not going with you. And then as she's walking away, he doesn't have to say this.
Right.
But he tries to
help
affect somebody else's path.
Yeah.
And he says, look, yeah. It's by talking about a struggle that he has. Mm-hmm. Because he knows what it's like to, if you can't fix it,
you'll go insane.
Because it's what's happening to him. And then in this next, you know, further into the sequence, we get
him.
His psychosis, you know, yeah. his struggle.
Yeah, he tried to fix what was broken and he failed.
Right.
And he went insane.
Right. And he thinks that there's still, even when he says hope is a mistake, there's a part of him who feels that there might be hope for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that's really good. Side note, I got distracted by this. She's wearing the shoulder pad. There was some dissension about Joe Lynch's explanation of the shoulder pad.
Oh, that's right.
So.
That's right.
We should get to that later.
Okay.
Okay, so let's work through this. This is a really, really good series of events that happens here. So, mm-hmm. basically... He says, no, I'm not going to go. And then we basically cut to them driving away. In this really iconic shot on the left, he's got the massive motorcycle loaded up with food.
Yeah, which is an interesting design for a motorcycle, which I can only imagine exists. I don't know what the...
looks very sturdy.
It must be some sort of long-distance bike or something, but it's got that... It's really...
It's got
that
sand,
long...
Right?
I don't know what a axle, a yoke. I don't know what the fucking thing is, because I'm not... We've established... I know even less about motorcycles than I know about cars,
right.
Which is very little.
To me, you know a lot
but
about both.
Hey, thanks.
Because I know little about either.
Thanks. But it's sort of got this extension in back, and it puts the back wheel really far back from mm-hmm. the rest of the
bike. It seems super stable. I'm guessing for sand. Is it the only... explanation I have.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because listen, every car and every bike is tuned to the landscape we find it in.
Right. I would love for somebody to talk to us about that.
That's my guess, though.
Because I love the design. It looks badass.
It looks badass. Right. So Max is standing between the war rig on his right and his laden motorcycle on his left, watching them drive away in this sort of flying V, mm-hmm. Mighty Ducks formation into the distance,
nice.
Down the hill. As they drive away, he hears the whisper of a voice of a young girl, which is the one we've heard throughout the film. Mm-hmm. And he puts his hand on his gun.
Does she refer to him as Max, or does she refer to him as dad? Or
the next, in the second she does, yeah. At first, it's just sort of aimless whispers. It
right.
turns around,
right.
And then we hear this little girl's voice call, I think dad.
Yeah, now that I'm trying to remember if that's what it was.
He had his son in the
first movie. Who was killed.
Yeah.
Along with his wife.
Yeah, this is a girl's voice for sure.
But this is, you know, each one is sort of a retelling with no interior exterior
consistency. Yeah.
And then in a flash, she does that sort of gesture with her hand, and he throws his hand up to his forehead.
Yep.
But also in that flash, we see what happens down the line.
Yeah.
We see, you know, everybody's seen the movie. We see the guy shooting the dart that he ends up, you know, sort of keeping from going all the way into his fucking skull.
Yeah, with the same gesture.
Yeah. So we're getting a flash forward in that moment. I mean, George Miller is great with those.
And this is like, in a way, his psychosis saving his life is kind of what happens here.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Or the ghosts of his... It is a very interesting...
it's mythic.
Magical realism, you know, moment.
It leans into
Is
the
it
myth
in his head?
Here.
Or does he have some sort of guardian angel? Or is somebody trying to give him hope? Is somebody trying to... Somebody wants him to find redemption, because basically she leads him after them. She's like, don't let them go.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah.
Because there's no reason for him to go after them and turn them around.
No.
Unless you argue that if his plan is to go back to the Citadel,
he
can't do it alone.
Right. Well, we can't lean into that explanation, though.
Right.
Because the movie really, really pushes us to accept the former explanation, which is he's made the mistake before. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of letting of not helping people the way he could. He failed people somehow, is all we know.
Right.
He let people die, according to him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the reality is a lot more complex than that. But the reality he is left living with is, I did not save these people. They are dead because of me. Mm-hmm. They haunt me.
Right.
And he's watching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 women drive mm-hmm. away that he maybe could help. And he knows
they'll
die. Death.
He knows they'll die out in the sun.
Yeah, he's watching them go.
You know why? Because he knows that they won't make it 160 days.
He's like,
she thinks that they're going to make it 160.
Tops, you got 30.
He's like, tops, you've got 30.
Yeah.
Right.
I talked to my friend Yuri. Yuri knows a lot about gas consumption on motorcycles. He said it's a tops 30. So come on back.
Exactly.
No, but he basically, it's a beautiful moment. This is the moment of Max's redemption. He says,
the beginning of that.
Yeah.
That path.
It's his turn. I'm going to go, not let these people go.
Mm-hmm.
He goes after them and in a pretty badass. The music starts to pound again.
Right.
He's ripping through the desert on this fucking bitch and bike.
Fully outruns them. Yeah, to sort of the street, stops them.
Yeah, goes right through their pack, pulls in front, they all slow down and stop. And a nice, a great shot.
Yeah.
There's women on motorcycles.
You see all of them, people taking goggles off. Yeah, people, yeah.
And
it's,
he's not
it's
like...
It's a beautiful moment.
In classic Tom Hardy / Max moment, mm-hmm. He's not like, stop. He's like, mm-hmm. he kind of ambles up to her car. He's like, here's the deal.
Yeah, right.
There's no introduction or prelude. He's just like, I got this map I drew.
Yeah.
And we should
got
go
a plan.
Here. Shitty map, by the way.
Terrible map.
Not a good map.
But, Needle and Blood, it's like a prison map.
But I just made the argument last episode that he worked on it for 7 to 10 hours.
Right. And my argument was that he worked on it longer and it's falling apart look at the map.
Yeah, it's not a good map. Anyway, he says, here's where we go. We go back to the Citadel.
He's like, if you go this way, you'll die.
Yeah, and this place, she goes, what's there? He says, green. Yeah. Great, great one-word answer.
Yeah. Because
what we were looking for the whole movie, the green place.
Yeah.
Green has come to symbolize fertility, life, future, mm-hmm. hope. It's a loaded word now.
And
it's
I
not
love
just
it.
The word green. It's
and
loaded.
And I love it because he knows that she knows that he's right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's forgotten. Like, she, you can't see what's, she couldn't see the forest for or you couldn't see it because it was right in front of her face.
Yeah.
And because she associates it with everything that's horrible.
Yeah. It's the place of her...
It's the green place.
Yeah, it's the green place.
And then we get a bunch of interesting sort of exposition that I think could be cut.
Okay, I agree with you, but
now,
go on.
Now, I argue that, the Vivalini don't know all of this stuff.
Yes.
So the girls would have to tell them, but we know this stuff.
Yes.
So it could have been shorter.
Are you upset that most of the exposition comes from one character?
It's, if she had been able to sell it, a little better, then maybe I wouldn't be so pissed off.
Well, just for the audience, who are we talking about?
I think we're talking about Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah, and...
That's weird. Have we brought her up before?
No, she's... Yeah. Basically, she's the daughter of a famous singer.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives a blistering performance in this film.
She does.
Now I'm feeling guilty for how much we're leaning into her. But it's true. Most of the exposition comes from her mouth. Also,
right,
she's chewing on the fucking toothpick again.
Yeah, that's...
This whole scene. You're riding through the desert... There's sand everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Cover your mouth with the fucking shawl. Don't chew on the toothpick all the time.
That's a thing.
It's a character choice.
It's
fucking weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. And even when they stop, she's still chewing on it. And she's like... He pumps up water from the ground into his aquifers.
Right.
He calls it Aquacola. And he owns it, so he owns us.
Right.
Great. All true.
All true, but all stuff that we know.
Yeah, bad timing for it, probably.
And I can't imagine that didn't come up in that whole night that they were talking.
Great.
So,
you can cut around that.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that would
is
be...
Is this the place
my...
you told us about? Yeah.
Right.
Corey.
And you don't have to remind us of what's there and everything. You just say, green. There's
where
the water
is. I think there is an argument. I'll just try to make the... I agree with you, but the counter-argument, I think, mm-hmm. would be that it's such a crazy decision filmically and plot-wise mm-hmm. to have them go back the way they came, there needs to be some sort of scene of argument about that. And so someone has to raise the point, we have to go back, it has all these things, mm-hmm. there's nothing out there for us. Like, I get the structure of the scene in terms of, like, it'd be crazy if they're like, let's go back to that place, cool, let's go. It's a contentious decision, right?
Right.
For the audience to accept, I mean.
Yeah.
So the audience needs a second.
Is this more for the audience who already, a lot of the pushback that we get on this film being
great. They just
great,
go back to where they
is
started.
Is it like, I can't believe they just go back to where they started.
You guys have heard our opinions on
that. Yeah, we don't need to rehash that. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, though,
that maybe that's part of the structure or reason for the scene is just saying, this is a crazy decision in a lot of ways. Let's at least have a scene where they argue
logic,
about it.
Yeah.
And then the logic becomes uninteresting to us because we know all that stuff already.
Right.
During that argument...
I would like to go back to also... Hold on to this. Hold that thought.
I have it.
Go ahead. That he pumps the water up, you know, from under the ground as an aquifer, whatever. I still love the idea that that's the place from Beyond Thunderdome where all the kids are living.
Yeah, great. Although the mountains doesn't make it look like it's not that.
That's true.
And what is the Dag's one line in this, I think, is... well, she has two lines. One is, I thought you weren't insane anymore.
More, right.
After he suggests this crazy idea to go back the way they came.
Right, and a comic beat.
Yeah, comic beat. And the other one is, it's a good place to live if you're not afraid of heights.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
Right.
She's great.
Right. You love her so much.
I know. She's just like... Well, yeah, we're talking about survival and where we go and how do we get through. And she's like, it's really high.
Yeah.
Okay, Dag.
Right.
thanks for contributing.
Yeah, because that really doesn't contribute anything.
But it's so consistent.
But it's important to her.
It's so consistent with the character. She's like, well, it's very high up.
Right. Right.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Also, in the scene we freeze framed on, so all the women are around. There's this big negotiation here where Max is suggesting something pretty and crazy, the exact strategy of which we'll get into in a moment. But the older woman, the one with the seeds, has two testicles.
I clocked it too.
Let's talk about it. Well, what do you think those things are? Fruits?
Well,
what are those?
Well, here's
the skulls of our enemies?
It's a little gourd. And she's got something in there, and I wonder if it's gunpowder, because she is super happy about blowing things up.
She's the sharpshooter.
She's the kaboom guy, which gets the second moment of, you know, the first time sort of Max really does this is when the thumbs up out the window.
To the splendid Angarad.
I'm killing the names today, guys.
I named, before we started recording, you guys, I named every fucking wife in the scene, and I felt good about myself.
You should.
It's only an hour 30 in. I'm getting the names of the characters down.
Yeah,
really
you absolutely should.
Anyway, yes, he makes the thumbs up gesture to her, but also the older woman here, the seed woman. They're talking about blowing up. Fuck, we should back up and explain the strategy, because that's
Okay, yeah, I was gonna sort of end on the things we see in her, because we get a nice, it's a rare occasion when we freeze frame on something to look at visual details, time and time again, this film, you know, does like nobody else. A lot of things sort of pop forward on this, and it allows us to look at things. You want to end on that?
I think it's important to talk about this woman and why she says kaboom, that we back up to talk about.
Right.
You know, the strategy here. Because Max is like, here's what we do. I don't think we should go around these two. It would take 2 weeks to go around the mountains. We'll never make it. As Yuri has pointed out, that's because they have to beat Immortan Joe back. I didn't get that. I messed that up.
I found that as you were talking about it.
Okay. Well, I messed it up anyway. But good argument. And like he's like, no, I'm not saying we go around the mountains. I'm saying we charge right through the war party, which is probably still here.
Right, and then she says, I thought you weren't insane anymore.
Yeah.
Clearly this is the worst plan in the world.
Yeah, we're going right into the mouth of the enemy. He says, no, we go through that arch, which they've probably cleared. We blow it, trapping them on the other side this time of the arch. And the old gunpowder sharpshooter woman goes, kaboom.
Yeah.
And he like points at her like, you got it, lady. Nice work.
Yeah, I love that he's like, I like you. She says what I'm talking about
she's
here.
She's so feisty. I would love my grandmother to be like that.
Right. She's the grandmother we all wish we had.
Yeah, the one who blows shit up.
Shoots dudes through
the medulla. Yeah.
Snap. I love that we get sort of almost an uncharacteristic Max moment, the second.
Yeah.
I like that in the movie.
The most amused he is the whole film, I'd say, is by that moment.
Yeah.
He's pretty like, sweet.
Yeah.
You crazy old biddy.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. The gourd, which I hope, might contain water, but I really hope contains gunpowder. It is hanging like testicles.
She's got two gourds hanging,
which is,
I would say, clearly intentionally done.
Yeah. And you know, if not by the designer, then I bet that actress was like, here, check this out. And she just moved it over.
Yeah. It's a great moment. I mean, especially if it's filled with gunpowder. It's a woman making fake testicles full of gunpowder.
And, you know,
it's
we already established in the last image. In the last episode for the last 4 minutes that she's had to resort to. She's like, the Dag said, you know, how can you respond with violence? And,
yeah.
I've tried this, but I've had to adopt that. And this is further confirmation.
If I could take this kind of labored metaphor a little further.
Do it.
So we've learned that she carries seeds around, and mm-hmm. the bullets are anti-seed. Mm-hmm. If she keeps gunpowder in her gourds, which are testicles, mm-hmm. the seed she creates is the bullets.
Wow. Wow.
If I may say, what a seminal argument I just made.
Oh, sorry, that was... There it is.
Wow. That's for all you language nerds out there.
My name is your... No. I feel like I have to...
Yeah, I know.
End on that. You don't end on that.
Solid. Anyway, it's a really, really nice moment.
But while we're here, I also clocked, because it's close to the gourd, is the woman who was originally the bait, the ostensibly the youngest, although there's another woman who looks about the same age.
The Native American-looking woman who is badass.
Yeah. She's got these claws on her glove that look like they're from an animal part. Mm-hmm. And then these sort of jagged metal pieces on the back of her glove, just clearly meant for cutting and punching, close combat.
It's a very...
close quarters melee.
You know more about this than me, but would you agree that that's like a Native American mixed with sort of Asian influence costume?
Yeah, it's like half Shredder, half... I know we had to... Because that's not really Asian. That's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Does not count.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I just marginalized
continent and subcontinent.
Yes. She's got this sort of Shredder thing. And then these two claws that she's also affixed to the glove.
It's so good. The costumes... I'm so happy we freeze-framed on this scene.
Because there's so many beautiful... little details.
And I love that they put Capable in the middle, because her hair just pops so hard.
Yeah.
And the one who ran away, whose name is Cheeto.
I should have let you do that, because you knew it.
I know it. She looks like she's in a different film almost. She's like a Wonder Woman stance here.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone's in the scene, everyone's doing the thing.
Right.
Except for Zoe Kravitz, who's perched up. Everything's so... it's too nonchalant. Everything she does is like affected nonchalant. So she's got her legs propped up, and she's chewing this toothpick and giving exposition about the Citadel.
Yeah.
Whatever, we already get into that. But like, look at it. It's just affected. It feels so affected.
Yeah. We also get a good close-up on Furiosa's shoulder pad rig thing that obviously doubles. Somehow powers her arm or assists her arm.
Oh, I wanted to say this too.
It's vented too.
It's really strong.
That's so great.
In the beginning of this 4-minute sequence, and here we really get it, there is amazing cinematography happening with the eyes in this whole sequence.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy, listen, not in like a weird way, but in a just cinema appreciation way, Tom Hardy's eyes in that first sequence where he's talking to Furiosa are fucking magnificent.
They destroy me.
They're great.
I would do anything he told me to.
Yeah.
He's if he looked at me with those eyes.
Let's go spend 160 days on a motorcycle. Sure.
Sure, whatever.
But
you
like
say.
The way they're lit, like the lighting in those things makes the eyes almost seem supernatural. It's again a very good comic book sort of tip of the hat. It's really, 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 really well done. And here we get a nice shot of Furiosa's eyes while she's contemplating Max's crazy proposition. Mm-hmm. And her eyes just pop. Like they're so every time you see a close-up of a character and you see their eyes, there's light reflected in it. It just brings it to the surface. It makes
even
the
at night,
pop. Right?
When there's no obvious light source.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Day for night.
Okay. Right? So we're off this, but we go back to the plan.
The plan.
Which is...
Right. He goes through it. He's like, we're gonna go straight down the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's the wrong metaphor.
You look a gift horse in the mouth, or you go straight into the mouth of the... beast.
Enemy? Mouth of the beast. They're plunging...
The belly of the beast. Into the belly of the beast.
Into the belly of the beast. That's what they're doing here. Going straight into...
Out its anus. To go straight through the belly. No.
I think this is the episode where we take metaphors too far.
Too far.
Not to their inevitable conclusions, but way past
But
them.
Way past the inevitable conclusions.
I just think, like, this is this is worth a little bit of our time. In addition to the wives washing themselves... which I think serves a lot of purposes we've discussed, mm-hmm. and even more than we initially thought. This moment is the other one that gets us the most pushback from non-fans of the film.
Which is?
Going back to the Citadel.
Right, yes.
Going back to where they came. So maybe it deserves a second of time here.
Yeah, let's talk about that. But before that, it is interesting, there is that moment where they're washing themselves and they're... Or, we've come under fire. The film has come under fire for their clothing, or the type of clothing they're wearing. It is interesting to see how they've immediately... Well, when you're on a bike, you have to. But they're becoming Vuvellini. They're starting to adapt to the terrain.
Love that.
In this scene, they're all covered now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They're all covered.
Capable has a really dope blanket she's got on. You got the Cheeto's got a little
leather hoodie.
The dag is
covered up. She's got like a head shawl, head cover thing.
She looks so cool.
Yeah. And of course she does. And Toast has like this great coat. You can see it's sort of buttoned, sort of falling over her shoulder.
Yeah, but it feels like she's with feigned nonchalance. Yeah, look at that. Look, even in this freeze frame, it's like there's 10 people in one film and one person in a different movie. It feels like.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong about that.
You're right. I can't tell you.
Even in the fucking freeze frame. Anyway. Yeah. No, I love the idea that they're becoming Vuvellini. Mm-hmm. I feel embarrassed. I said Vuvellini, even though the people involved in the film wrote that.
Yeah.
You think they're making fun of me?
No, I don't think they're making fun of you. I just think that it's easy to get wrong. Because it clearly comes from
not
that.
If you spent 15 years working on the movie.
Nothing is easy to get wrong.
It's got to be intentional. So either, yeah, they're mocking. I'm just being mocked.
Okay. You just assume that? You just assume
well, I don't know what else it
you?
Could be if that's what it is. Why would they type that? Ian typed it too.
Okay.
If you guys are not
then
privy
I'm
to the Facebook
wrong,
arguments.
Then it is probably
no,
that.
You're confident and I trust you. Which means you looked it up or read it somewhere.
That will be your final mistake.
I know, but you read it somewhere, obviously. You like had some time to look at it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think
right?
I did.
Yeah.
I think I did.
You think, which means you definitely did. I think I did. Yuri's so generous that someone could be like, hey, gravity's not real. And Yuri would be like, I think maybe it is. Like, I think maybe you're right.
I think maybe I've researched that.
Yeah, you should maybe look into that. I'm not trying to, claim your truth for you, but I think maybe you're wrong.
That before you, yeah.
Before you post it on Facebook. I believe two things. Gravity is fake and Donald Trump is a humanitarian. I will broker no argument. Okay. So the argument is we have a couple options available to us. He's like, if you go that way, you're going to die.
You're going to die.
So that can't be a thing.
Right.
We know the green place is now full of fetid water and stilt walkers.
Can't go back there.
The place you've been living is just dust.
And helicopter backpacks almost.
Helicopter backpacks. He's thought this through. He's like, there's one place in reach in the world, right, as far as we know, that can sustain us.
And something that, honestly, only a person who's insane would probably come to that as fast as he did.
Yeah. Well, he thought through. Yeah.
He thought through with survival in mind.
He's like, yeah, where's the places we can go to? He's thinking from first premises and says, or premises, and says, okay, that's the place we have to go. And then I think there's a flash of inspiration for him, which the movie doesn't show, but it has to have happened, which was everyone who guards the citadel is not there right now.
Right.
It's the
Literally,
moment
the,
of...
the cat is away.
It's you know what it is? It's Theon Greyjoy going, oh, no one's at Winterfell right now. Fuck. Now's the time to take Winterfell.
Right.
So Max is Theon Greyjoy in this nerd metaphor.
Wow.
And goes, this is the time to take the castle.
Right.
We can do it. And then he starts to think, okay, well, how can we beat them back? Okay, the only way really is to blast through the belly of the beast.
Because they're not, well, they're not expecting it.
Right, not expecting it. We can probably get through that. All light, we're fast, we're moving quickly. Right. If we get through the arch, which has been probably mostly cleared out, because they probably got the war party.
I think it's Toast who says, clearly the pass is clear, they brought the war parties through.
Right.
But I don't even think it's a, because I think
Do they see them?
They've been
they
chased.
Saw the bullet farmer, and that's it, right?
Well, if the bullet farmer got through.
Yeah, but he has that tank thing.
Yeah, but that tank couldn't have climbed
the...
So if he's through,
yeah, that's
then they're all through.
Okay, good. That makes sense. So it's probably open, or it's definitely open.
Or she's seen the movie before.
Quite possible. Or they give all the unbelievable dialogue to her.
Right.
Just say this thing. Why would my characters... You don't have a character stopped. So they blast... It's like, he thinks it through. He's like, if we blast through that and get there ahead of them, we can blow that. And then as long as we get to the citadel before them, maybe we can hold it. It's a very risky plan because he doesn't know that they'll be able to kill anyone on the way back.
Right.
He just thinks our best chance is to outrace them, get there before them, and to convince the city to let them take over and hold the walls against. If they can get up there, they control the city.
Right.
Not a terrible plan, not a great plan, but I would argue the only plan.
Right.
So... I mean, if the arguments to us are that he's making this is a terrible idea structurally, strategically, yeah, but can you tell me a better one?
Right. Right.
I don't know a better
one. There's either a long drawn out death or a quick death with a chance of success.
Yeah. So take it. Take it. And he knows these girls are all into that. Like, this old woman wants to get in a fight. She likes to blow shit up.
Right.
Also,
he's like, well, I've got her on the, what about, how about the rest of you?
Yeah, you guys. Also, what happens in that new place? There's this, it's all unknown versus known, and I think you take the known. There's probably a saying here. Take the known in, whatever.
The devil you know.
That's the one I'm looking
for. The devil you know.
Yeah, take the devil you know over the devil, you don't know. That's probably not it. But yeah, so I would argue anyway. This is the other moment we get the most pushback from anti fans,
right?
Anti seed fans. And I would say, yeah, I get your point. I see what you're saying. But I do think it's the best idea. I think it's the best argument.
And a lot of people are like, yeah, well, that's not really very inspired. Oh, we'll go back the way we came, which is something we've already seen. And yet, when I think of that, I can't think of another movie that has done the same thing.
Right.
It's not like I've seen this. This is not a tropey.
Well, we brought up once. The one we always, I rely on, I don't know if I've heard you, sort of, and maybe you disagree with it. I always say it's the plot of Wizard of Oz.
Can you think of a better thing to go back to then?
No, I mean, it's great. I mean, as you pointed out, well, There and Back Again is a subtitle.
Right. Oh, that's true. Right, right. Yeah, we have talked about that.
Book.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's precedent for it, I think, but not in this way, which is as a twist beat. Wizard of Oz does as a twist beat, whatever.
Yeah, but not in an action sense. Like,
okay, we're really,
I don't know.
I think we're struggling on this one.
I think we're struggling on this one, but I stand by it.
Yeah, we're pulling at straws a little bit.
But I don't understand why people are so incensed. I think you get incensed about the movie and you find things to support your argument.
Yeah, and also, of course, the scenes we're coming back to here, this major, major close of the film chase sequence, which we'll spend the next couple weeks going over.
I can't wait.
It's going to be super great. It's full of new ideas, new attacks, new drama, new fun. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's like, ugh, here go, more of this bullshit.
Yeah.
It's basically like every movie has its final sort of rush to the end and, like, you know, paying off all the guns on the wall it's set up. And you know, I think it works fine. I'm not as passionate about defending it as I am about some of the other points in the film, just because I think I do understand the objection more than the other objections. But I would just say, if you are telling a story about these characters in this world and having them make decisions true to themselves and true to the plot
right.
that they find themselves in, I really think that is, as a plot point, fine.
Yeah.
You guys disagree with this? Tell us, tweet at us. Tell us why we're wrong, that kind of
stuff.
Also,
I can't stop looking at this freeze frame.
It's the best.
It's like,
please look
every,
at our Twitter, guys. If you don't follow us on Twitter, there's a really, really good freeze frame in this one that it's so nice to look through.
Yeah.
With the exception of one of the characters. Everything is really beautiful and nice and structurally.
And almost perfect.
It's almost perfect in every way. It's nearly perfect in every way, especially the costumes of this moment, because costume department fucking murders this movie.
I'd love to do almost like a chat roulette, but a roulette of this movie where you spin a wheel and land on any frame, any freeze frame in this movie,
and just
talk about what you see.
If it's in focus, it's going to be great.
So that's even breaking down our podcast into not just 4 minutes, but literally a frame in a 24 frames per second of a movie.
It would work, I think. Can I ask you a thing that you probably won't want to do?
Sure.
Could you, if I pick one of the older women, can you make up a name for her?
Sure.
Okay, I want you to make up a name for the bullet lady.
Oh, wait. I didn't mean to do that. Hold on.
It's the one with, for those of you following along at home, it's the woman with the gourds between her legs who carries the seeds and wants to blow shit up. She's the most badass. Yuri, what do you think we should name her?
Old Boney.
Great, I have nothing further to say.
My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
Her name is Old Boney, and you are awaited.